You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Mom and Doc Talk. We are joined today for a conversation about the messy middle by the wonderful Lori Bean. She has been a guest on the podcast before with her daughter to share their story. So if you haven't checked it out, make sure you go check it out, because they've just got a really fantastic story to share. But Lori is here because she has such great insight on this and the topic that we're going to talk about for the next episode. And we wanted to just have her here for a chat. So thank you so much for joining us, Lori.
Thanks for having me.
So the messy middle, I have a lot of people who ask me questions, like, you know, in our Facebook group or when I'm talking to people at the various different places I talk to people. Like, when do you know you're in the messy middle? It's like people want a definition. And then they also want to know, so what is the definition? How do I know if I'm in the messy middle? And what does it mean for how much longer I have? And it's really fuzzy. Like, the messy middle is not like exactly 50%. And so if it took you 2 years to get to the messy middle, then you got 2 years left. It's not that. There's not like a clearly defined period of time. There's also not like necessarily a clearly defined way to know that you're in it. And that's part of the messiness, right? Like, we call it the messy middle for a reason. So I sort of see the messy middle as the place where you still got pans. You're not like in the second half of healing where like pans is mostly managed and you've got some like little things that pop up a little bit here and there. You're in like the pendulum swing, getting just like a normalized immune system. And then maybe finding out the other things that are underlying the pans that need some attention, like ADHD, you know, migraines, whatever it happens to be. Right. So it's not that we're not like through the, you know, we're still having clear pan symptoms. So we're still dealing with things, but things are better than they were at the beginning. Like, you've figured out more about, like, you're understanding homeopathy a bit better. You're understanding how your kid's responding a bit better, but you still just are fighting it. You're still in the thick of it and things are shifting and maybe sometimes getting confusing. That's kind of where, like, how I kind of like loosely define the messy middle. Lori, what do you think? How would you define the messy middle?
So I think the first thing you said about, you kind of don't know you're in it until you're in it or past it, maybe. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it was more of a hindsight thing, looking okay. into it. You know, I think when you get out of survival mode and you can somewhat, I always call it rejoin the land of the living. You can kind of start living your life, but not without blips. But you can, you have like a lot of these false starts, like, okay, maybe we're going to join a team again and we're going to get back to normal. And, oh, well, no, we're going to have to miss again because then this happened. I think with the messy middle, however you want to define it, it comes with a lot of new paradigm shifts that you don't know you need to make until you get there. You know, at the beginning, you as a parent, I think you are looking for specific patterns on dosings and you're following everything like this and like this. And when you get to the messy middle, I feel like the patterns kind of drop off. And I think that's partly because you don't have as much low hanging fruit as far as symptoms go. Mm-hmm. You kind of maybe have a shift in your healing. Some layers have dropped off. Some new things have popped on. And then also because you've kind of rejoined the land of the living a little bit, you're still having life throwing whatever curveballs your way. So mm-hmm. it's this really weird dichotomy of you're ready to get started, but you're not really quite there yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty good definition. What about you, Jody? Anything you want to add?
I love that. And this is so Lori Bean. Like, I have this thing in my head that I keep thinking, but I don't know how to describe it. And I just kept thinking, like, the messy middle was where I really met my own PTSD. Like, mm-hmm. she showed up. Mm-hmm. And it was all of that stuff that you just talked about. Like, things had improved and it's like we had gotten to this space where I was like, oh, okay, I understand homeopathy, but then we were shifting into some even bigger kind of like with Avery spacing out a little bit more. So I was doing a little bit more figuring out when to dose and not dose. And prior to that, I thought I had it. I was like, oh, we're good. We're smooth sailing. We're going to go through. But then we got into that space and I got a little confused. But then also, whenever things would shift backwards, it's like I started having larger reactions and responses to them. And I was having a hard time seeing the good things because I kept looking at the bad things because the bad things shouldn't still be happening, or we weren't seeing the same like woo response that we were in that first portion of it. So it was a tough time for me. It was an adjustment.
I think it's I think that because you start to rejoin the land of the living, you have this false belief that maybe you're farther along than you are. And I have to say, for everybody, doing something is better than doing nothing. So it's a huge celebration and it's wonderful and all these things, but I think it really highlights as the caregiver, like you were just saying, Jody, anytime you went backwards, you were like, we just got started with this. So it just felt bigger. It just felt a different kind of bigger. You're not surviving, but it's just frustration. Like, how much longer? How much longer and why? And it's a very weird space to be in. And I feel like there were many components and phases to the messy middle, including plateaus. Like, this is where we met a couple remedies where our provider had to say, no, you have to stay on it. And I was like, no, you don't know what's going on. I mean, full on, like, I would get off the call and I would look at my husband and be like, she doesn't even know. I think she's mad at us because she wants us to stay on this remedy. And this is just crazy because she doesn't live here. And then I fall in love with her all over again. But seriously, it was a bunch of like this. So it's just a whole different animal than the beginning. I'm not going to say good, better, worse, anything like that. Just another hurdle you have to go through. And like Jody said, I think you really have to rely on the caregiver staying balanced in a very different way to make it through. This is where you getting grounded and getting your own PTSD under control, that is what is going to get you to the end. Because this is the spot where everyone wants to bail, like legitimately bail. Like, yeah, well, it's been 2 years, so clearly it's I'm done. And there's not really a timeline. I mean, 2 years is just a number. It's just a random number. As we all know, healing is not determined by a number or a timeline. It's whatever the body says. So.
The outside stuff is definitely what has the biggest impact, I think, on the way we experience all of the things in the messy middle. And I think we should definitely talk about like the way that remedy responses can change and some plateaus and things just sort of slowing down. Let's definitely talk about that. But it's one of those things that we need to recognize that if we're going from like lockdown, we're not going to be able to go from a place where we're like super locked down, super controlled, to then just jumping and leaping to the complete opposite, where we're just back in life and everything is okay. And that there's not going to be any hiccups, because we're getting all sorts of new environmental exposures, new social stressors, new relationship stressors, new time stressors, all those types of things. So maybe before we talk about the homeopathy side, I would love to hear from you guys if there are strategies that either of you figured out when you were in the messy middle, even if you didn't realize that that's where you were, we hadn't started calling it that yet. Strategies that you really had to lean into to navigate the reintroduction to life while still having PANS, even if it wasn't as bad.
I was just really cautious. I feel like I got caught with my pants down one time. It just took once. I went full bore and I scheduled this whole weekend of all these things, thinking, okay, we can totally do this, not knowing that I needed to really dip my toe in the pool first. Maybe I was just overly optimistic, or maybe that's just me. I mean, many of you know me, that's just kind of me. I'm kind of all in kind of girl. But I found out the hard way, and we definitely, I don't know if it put us into a flat. I don't totally remember the details, but I just remember at that moment going, you know what? We can schedule one thing on the weekend, and then I need to really pad the timing behind it, like some R&R time. And so other people really didn't get it. for a long time. I really didn't commit to a lot of things, meaning I would do a loose commitment, right? I always had a little asterisk. So I would say, hey, the Beans are planning on coming to this event, but don't forget 24 hours before I might call you and say, sorry, we're out again. So I kind of just did a lot of that. You know what I mean? Just half in, half out kind of thing, not putting too much expectation on it because I did get burned that first time.
I love that you just said expectation, because that's what it sounds like is managing your expectations for both what you can handle. Because the reality is, like, when you're in the messy middle, as Jody said, your PTSD is more likely to start to show itself. To, like, if it hasn't already shown itself, it's more likely to introduce herself or himself by showing you the things that, like, yes, I want this to be better. And, like, it's so much harder when it's not. And so you also, it's not just your kids who need grace and space and realistic expectations. It's you, because you have been living in massive stress mode for a really long time, and it takes a while to recover.
Yeah, this is why I love that Lori's here, because I feel like I did some stuff not so great. Like, in the messy middle, we stayed inwards because I didn't, like, I was so stuck in my own, like, I know what's going to happen, so we're just not going to do it. So I love that we, like,
you have different experiences.
Yeah, just, I, again, hindsight, I wish I would have gone out a little bit more, but again, I love that you're here with us, Lori, because you just did things a little bit differently. And it's a great, you know, it's a great way to look at things.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And give yourself a little bit of credit too, Jody. You have another kiddo who's got, like, you know, with the mast cell stuff, it complicates things for your family in a way. And like, and you and your family have just been living in that space for much longer. So you've always been a lot more cautious and, like, tiny changes for things when they come. So,
well, and I will just add to that, you're the pioneer. So I came after you. You know what I mean? So I had education from you and insight from you to be able to determine when it was time to test the waters. So I'll just say that. Don't shortchange yourself. Can we just talk about how this PTSD that comes in the middle, your cracks begin to show? And it's different because at the beginning, you have a lot of external people that are telling you this isn't going to work or this isn't the way or whatever. And Dr. Barr, you've talked about this before, how you just are stubborn and you wanted to prove everyone wrong. So that's what got you through. But at this middle part, you almost start doubting yourself. At the beginning, I was telling everyone else, you're crazy. I'm watching. I dose. This happens. And this and this and this. And then you get to that part where you dose and, well, did it? Did it not? I don't really know. I didn't actually see her today because she had practice. And then that. And so you kind of get in your head more, I think. At least that's how it was for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you just brought up something. So let's talk a little bit about how responses can sometimes change in the messy middle, right? So there's multiple factors. So it's both because you're engaging in life more and things have changed more that you might not be as present to witness things. There's also observer fatigue, which is the topic of our next episode to check out, that starts to set in the messy middle, but it's worth its own episode. So we're going to touch on it here, but give it a whole episode to it. But so, like, observer fatigue, because you've just been at this for a while, like, even before, most people don't come to homeopathy first, although that's changing. Thank goodness. So a lot of people are coming to homeopathy first now, but most people still are going to other things before they come to homeopathy, or they've been dealing with this for a while before it's clearly identified as what it actually is, as being PANS. So you're exhausted anyway. You're exhausted from PANS. You're exhausted from all of the things. You're getting some fatigue from, like, observing and, like, reporting to your homeopath. You're out in the world a little bit more. You're doing more things. Your kid's just getting older, maybe not sharing as much with you too. So you're not as able to see things as clearly. And also, like, as you're improving, the responses do tend to get smaller. And that's part of where people think, oh, it should always be really, like, the same. Like, we had big responses in the beginning. It was so clear, so obvious. We went from, like, terrible to, like, good in, like, a few days on a remedy. And then you're getting to the messy middle and it's sort of like, well, I mean, yeah, like, that's a little bit easier, but it's not as clear, like, it's not as big. And I always talk about like once we when we're starting the healing process, right? If we're hiking a mountain, you know me and my mountains. If we're hiking a mountain that's 1,000 foot elevation gain, and we're starting at the beginning, if we make a 10% progress on that 1,000 foot elevation gain, we've walked a hundred, we've hiked 100 feet, right? Or climbed 100 feet. If we're at like 70% of that we've already done, we only have like 300 feet left to go. A 10% improvement or 10% change is going to be 3 feet, not or 30 feet, sorry, 30 feet, not 100 feet. It looks a lot different when you don't have as far to go because you don't have as much improvement to have happen. It's harder to see because when things are settled down and doing better, where you can start to engage in life, you just don't have as strong a symptoms that are not as clear. And so there's also some challenges with reporting because you're just like, I don't even know what to tell you. Like there's just it's just And like sometimes you can't even put a word to the right?
Yes, very much. I'm totally interrupting, but
No, tell me, talk, chime in.
this thing, it's like somewhere in the messy middle, we shifted into those the last bit of symptoms that had been there, but also they were the things hanging around too. And it just gets, and I know we're going to talk about this more in the next episode, but like talking about those same symptoms over and over and over and seeing if we're responding to a remedy, but not the bigger shifting that we were seeing before. It was like beating our heads on the table, like, is this ever gonna end? In the smaller, like I didn't get the like the little sprinkles of like, woo, like that was better for 2 weeks. It was like just chugging through the mud.
My all-time favorite description, Jody, is what you said online one time, which is the messy middle equals you don't know your ass from your elbow. And it's honestly, you just want to like, I'm over it. I'm just done. Gosh darn it. I wish if I could wave a magic wand that there would be some sort of measure stick to know, okay, this messy middle, are we at 40%? Are we at 50%? Are we at
Wish.
70%? Give me something. And the honest truth is that nothing like that exists. You just have to keep going. I mean, you could be one day away from amazing. You might be 20 days, it might be 3 months. I don't know. And then as you go along, different things are uncovered. We've had some totally new things pop up recently, as a matter of fact, totally different presentation of symptoms. And I always hold on to, okay, good. Let's get it all out now. We're here, we're doing it. I'm making it so my kids have the best future they can possibly have, and everything's going to function optimally. But it was kind of a shock to the system, even now, like, whoa, I think this is what we're dealing with. And it's really a mind game for sure. And that's where that caregiver stability comes in. This is, I would say, it's almost the part where I had to really up my self-care. We talk about it a lot in the group about healing yourself is what's going to be the key to healing your kiddo. But when you're in survival, you can only do so much of it. So you're doing self-care to just get through the next day. Now the self-care has to shift into what's going to get me through the next year or 2 years. And it's the mental stuff. You know what I mean? Big change, big paradigm shifts.
I'm thinking that like it's probably worth for me to talk about my own experience as I was healing through this too, right? So my first 14 months with using homeopathy was on one remedy, several different potencies, but a single remedy. My first remedy was phosphorus. If it weren't for phosphorus, none of us would be here, right? We wouldn't know each other. So thanks to phosphorus, right? And when I first started, I was on medication that was suppressing my symptoms. And so I didn't know for sure whether it was working or not. And so I'm a stubborn person and I decided against my doctor's recommendations to go quickly off of my medication. And so I put myself into a tailspin that I got to learn very quickly how effective homeopathy was. Very grateful for that because if it weren't for that spin out that I had, I probably wouldn't have understood just how powerful homeopathy could be. So once I finally got that clarity, because I went from like not in a good place to functional out to dinner with my friends in 2 hours' time from taking a dose of the remedy because I'm a fast responder. And that's a big change, right? So I went along in like the first year and a half or so, I had pretty big changes. It was a pretty clear when I was no longer responding and I felt real bad. And then I felt a lot better when I started to respond to the remedy again. I get into the what now I now recognize as the messy middle. And it just didn't feel like I never felt as bad, or I rarely felt as bad, but I just didn't feel my best. And when I'd start responding to a remedy again, it was definitely better, but it didn't feel as much better. It was kind of disappointing sometimes. And I also, as a person going through treatment, wanted that bigger jump. But the reality was, I got back to the same place that I was. I just wasn't coming from as far down, right? Or as far up. And so I got back. All that a remedy is going to do, it's never going to make you better than like your best possible self. It just got me back to my best possible self, right? At least in
Yeah.
that moment. And I did also experience, and a lot of people experience this too, where because things aren't as clear, you might jump around from remedies, and like you could have both things happen, right? Where you're jumping around and you feel like you're changing remedies every couple of weeks, which I went through for a period of time. Or you could be in the place that both of you have been, and which I'd love to hear you talk about it, where your provider's saying, you need to stay on this remedy, and you're like, no, I want more. And they like, but we can't change. It's the wrong idea to change. And the reality is like both are frustrating, right? Because if you're bumbling along and you're changing, but nothing is really doing anything, that's gonna really impact your feelings about homeopathy. And if you aren't that stubborn, aren't as stubborn as me, or don't have like the same strong motivation behind why you're doing
You're
it,
doing
that's the
that.
time, like you said, people are gonna like jump ship. And I wish I had brought my copy of the of Chronic Diseases with me. Samuel Hahnemann talked about this, like about the importance of like when you're in this space, you have to see it through to the end where it's resolved or it's going to come back. So I'm gonna pause. What do you guys have to share about your experiences, especially those pesky times that we've made you guys stay on remedies longer than you wanted?
Honestly, it's so funny. I think I even had daydreams of like, I'm just gonna go rogue. I'm just gonna do my own thing. I would tell Rob all sorts of things, and he just looked at me like, whatever. You know, he knows me well enough. I was never gonna go rogue, but I really wanted to because, you know, my mind was playing tricks on me, and I went back into the, well, I'm reading this and it says this, you know, oh gosh, it was such a hard time. It was such a hard time. We got through it, and I now know that that remedy that we were on forever there in the middle, and I'm talking about with Poppy, was necessary. It was really weird because it felt like there were no changes. So I'm not talking about not having good days. She was having good days, but her journey up until that point, we had seen definite shifts all along. So I'm just not even talking about the response. I'm just talking about her presentation of symptoms. And I was so mad that nothing was not popping up. I mean, I was looking all over her skin. I'm like, something's got to be here so I can tell our provider that clearly we need to move on. And it just, it wasn't. It wasn't. So clearly we needed to stay on it. It's a weird thing because usually, especially in Western med, if you're not getting those results right away, you jump, you move, because that's how it works, right? It's that instant gratification that we're all so used to. And that's not homeopathy. Homeopathy is low and slow and underneath and digging out layers. And yeah, I really had to dig deep and remember why I started during this messy middle, because I too had moments of the fatigue and the burnout, and I'm not doing this right now. I'm not going to think about it. And I left it for a little bit of time. I don't mean left it, but you know, just kind of looked the other way. And honestly, that little break or respite that I took, I think was actually helpful because I was able to regroup and then come back stronger. Because there's been times in this journey, especially in the middle, where I feel like it's like you're doing something half-assed. And if I would just stop and not do it at all for just a hot second, then I could come back at full strength, if that makes sense.
Yep, definitely makes sense. I feel like I love hindsight so much. Like I wish I knew all the things that I know now in the middle of it. And this slow chipping away that happens in the messy middle is required. It's 100% required. And it's a hard thing to sit in, even though things are better. Like, we want everything gone quickly. But to me, it made so much sense, getting through it. Avery's body was doing a lot of healing in the beginning. It was a lot of, like, kind of all over the place. And I kind of love that her body took a little slowdown and just slowly worked through healing. Hard for me, what her body needed. And again, homeopathy over and over. I don't think we go an episode without saying slow, whatever the saying is that I used to hate.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yes. And that's it. That's what the messy middle was. And I think more than anything, and I'm going to say two different things. It's really, really important that we trust our providers in the messy middle and we lean in. I was so frustrated with you and Dr. Wei in G's messy middle because I wanted off, and me too, Lori. I'm assuming we were both extreme rule followers and we just do the right thing. I wanted to flub symptoms a little bit or do something. I was excited when you went on maternity leave, Dr. Barr, because I was like, here we go, we're getting a new remedy. But we did not get a new remedy. And it didn't, I spent a long period of time, like months and months, being really, really frustrated because at the time I was measuring success by how big of improvements we were having or how long the improvement lasted. I wasn't so much looking at the fact that she was still responding. It just didn't feel like enough response to me. Thank God I just trusted you guys and I kept doing what I needed to do. But it's really it gets frustrating, and having a good trusting relationship with your provider and allowing them to, like, truly lead you through that time is so important. And staying, like you said, Lori, you just got to stay. Like, that's the hard part. You got to stay through.
I think that's why, on the page, we always talk about looking for something good every week. If you're not in Panda Land, there's all sorts of things about talking about gratitude and life and, doing challenges and stuff. And we've even done them on the page. But the whole thing about looking for something, there's always something that has happened, even if it's I survived this week. And I just wish everybody would really latch onto that. There's always a bunch who do, but there's some who get so frustrated. And that was something that really helped me breathe and get through that period of what just felt like forever, of not, like you said, Jody, a whole bunch of things going on. Looking for, my dad had told me, stop looking for perfection. Your kids are still your kids. So even if you get them the best, like, and who's to determine when that even is, life is still going to keep happening. So I think sometimes when you're in this process, because we're so used to looking at the kids and studying them and reporting these symptoms, that there's a crossover that happens and you don't know, is it because of outside influences or is it the homeopathy that's not working? And we kind of confuse those two or conflate them and think that remedies aren't working when really it's outside stuff going on. And this was going to happen anyways. And maybe the homeopathy was really keeping you afloat. You'd never know that, I mean, but it's an interesting thing. Again, Jody, hindsight. I would have never thought about it. But now looking back, we were living life. Why wasn't I enjoying it at the moment? I do now, big believer of it now. But why wasn't that good enough at the time? And yes, I wanted to keep going. And also, let's appreciate where we are, where we had gotten.
Yeah, I think that, like, one of the things is, as we were going through, there wasn't, this group didn't exist. The messy middle doesn't feel right. It feels like it just doesn't feel like healing anymore. It didn't to
Feels like
me.
treading water.
Yes. At the time, I had no idea that that's what homeopathy was like. And this is, like, I spend a whole lot of time talking to moms about this is normal. Like, this space that you're in is normal. This is what it looks like for all of our kids. So I hope that just at least having the knowledge that you know, this is very normal and it's a hard space to be in, and you know, all of our kids go through it. It is still healing, even though it looks a little different.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many things that are happening all at the same time, right? And I want to touch on a couple of those things, like including, I'll just touch on as I go, and we'll talk about them. But then we do have to come back to the reporting flubs or symptom flubs that you said, Jody, because that's a big thing, and we need to not let that just like slip by. I'd actually wrote reporting fibs, so I put it nicer than I said. So I'm glad that you actually brought it up before I had to. So let's talk first. So like a lot of things are changing, right? This is actually like the messy middle in some ways is like the period of the most change. It just isn't big changes, but it's a lot of changes happening at the same time, right? So your body is improving and having having a more appropriate immune response. So you're probably also in that place where you're getting PANS flares plus illness flares at the same time. Illness plus PANS overlap because you're not all the way to the pendulum swing where you're just having the worst cold and flu season you've ever had or the worst allergy season you've ever had. You're still getting PANS plus, right? So you're dealing with extra stuff. So, but the body is shifting how the immune response is occurring. Mm-hmm. You're getting out and into the world more. So you're reintroducing social interactions to a child who's probably been pretty socially isolated for a while. You have probably been pretty socially isolated for a while and trying to figure out how to people again, right? And like that's stressful for everybody. So you're navigating your children and their new relationships, your new relationship with your child who is also growing and like changing because they're getting better and they're getting older. You're navigating your new relationships too and figuring out all of these things. You're having more time pressures, as we talked about. Your parenting is probably needing to shift at this point. So if you guys have thoughts about that, that's really good to share because you're going to start seeing in the messy middle things that are actually disciplinary things, not or that are actually behavioral things that are not inflammation mediated, where you're gonna have to start to shift how you parent because you're not just parenting through inflammation anymore. You're also gonna see a child who was stalled out because of their behavioral and cognitive regressions, and they're catching up. And so you're probably feeling real overwhelmed because in the messy middle, when they start to make those catch-ups from the regressions with their age and cognition, when it starts happening, it tends to happen fast. And so you go from parenting a child who was stuck at 5 to now parenting a child who's trying to get to 10. And there's a lot that's got to happen and they got to go through all of it. And it's overwhelming for both of you, right? And so I mean, when we think about all of these things together, it's not surprising that the remedies are just going to keep us treading water so we're not slipping as we're going through developmental leaps, cognitive leaps, social leaps, changes in social environments, new stressors, new time pressures, all of those things. Oh, and also your body is adjusting and shifting as it heals, and you might respond to remedies differently. You might go from being a really fast responder to a lot more slow responder. You might be go from being an aggravator to not aggravating, and you just don't realize you got to wait it out because you're so used to looking for that aggravation that's no longer happening, that if the aggravation isn't there, you think it's not working, right?
Yeah.
Or you could go the other way where your body was never strong enough to mount a big response and you start aggravating and suddenly now what do? How do we manage this? So there's just a lot of things happening in the messy middle. That this is the first time I'm saying all of these things out loud together. Like it kind of makes sense that like a remedy is going to keep you treading water because all of those things on their own can cause you to like slip back. Right. I'm even just thinking about like developmental leaps for your kids without PANS. Those are hard when those kids, like when they got something that they're like a new connection is wiring in their brain. Oof, it's hard for everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of figuring it out. I think with us, I got to that point with my younger daughter where I was like, I have no idea if this is symptom or if this is behavioral because her condition, her mast cell stuff was so severe that we really couldn't do a lot of discipline with her when she was younger because she would react to crying and strong emotions and stuff. And so, like, the way that we raised Avery and the way that, or when I say raised, I mean like disciplined and corrected and, you know, punishments and whatnot. We just had to do things really differently. So when we got G into the messy middle, and a lot of things, especially the really dangerous stuff, had come down, and we were looking at more behavioral stuff, I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is because I'm still not, like, I have a child that now I'm able to discipline, or I don't even know what the right word is. But I think I need to check on my parenting. And we took a couple weeks break so I could like figure out. And I'm like, I'm gonna try this whole like not super soft, gentle approach and be more stern with her and see if that shifts anything. And really, that kind of helped me figure some things out. And yes, indeed, I needed to be a little bit more stern with her because she was healthier and I was able to parent differently with her. But it's a lot of shifting at one time.
I think we experienced the same, Jody. Rob and I had a lot of talks, pillow talks about what's actually going on. What are we even looking at right now? There was a lot of, ironically, just pausing. We didn't really come to any answers right away. It was just kind of watching and observing, but in a different way. It's not symptoms I was telling Dr. P. It was stuff that we were talking about each other. Like, I think we need to shift, like you said, and it really was on the parents. We had never had a healthier fill in the blank. Right now she's 12, but a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, I didn't have one. She was my first, so I have nothing to gauge it off of. I didn't, and if you talk to anybody outside, everybody thinks it's discipline issues. So it wasn't. We actually re-engaged with our therapist at the time. Early on, that was futile because the brain was inflamed, and so it wasn't even worth doing. There was that point in that messy middle where it was like, I think we need to try this and have these talks with this therapist, bring her back in on board again, not only to help our kiddo to have some tools in the toolbox, but to us. Like, what do you think? What are you seeing? And it was nice to have another adult objectively speak, know the kid enough from before, but also, hey, try this out. That was really helpful for us. And it didn't take a lot of sessions, even just enough so that we had some footing so that we could discipline or whatever it was. That's still really hard for me as a mom, and maybe it would have been anyways. But man, after we discipline for something, and my kids are awesome kids, there's not a whole bunch of that going on. But I overthink that all the time. Am I being too hard? Am I doing this? No, it's good. They need to learn. They need to grow. So yeah, that's a good point. Another shift.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is like our parenting always has to evolve, and the way you parent one child is going to be different than the way you parent another, because what works for one is not going to work for another, regardless of whether they have PANS or not. But like the truth of the matter is, I've had to say this to several parents, like, you're parenting a different child now. Like, the way that you navigated things at the beginning is just not going to work anymore. And what, I love that you brought up your therapist, because the messy middle is usually a place where therapy starts to be more effective, if it was not effective before, because the inflammation is much more under control. It's much less of a picture. And so there is an opportunity to have learned things through therapy or to work through stuff. It's also the time where trauma might start to show up more. And so we just had a couple of really great episodes about trauma that are worth going back and listening to if you skipped over them. They do have trigger warnings, but it's very minimal stuff that we talk about that's like triggering in it. We just wanted to not like, so if anybody skipped it because of a trigger warning, it's really minimal. That said, like, this is the part where your trauma as a parent is going to really start to show itself. And your child's trauma from this, if they have it, is probably going to start to show itself too. So, I mean, obviously, as we talk through this, there's just a lot that's really happening. And all of these things are really important and necessary, as Jody said, to get to full recovery. It's just the hard part where so many things is happening at once that it makes it harder to see. And the easiest thing to look at is that maybe homeopathy is not working. And the reality is it is still working. It's just working differently and helping you navigate all of these things that are going to be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the reporting fibs. So I don't know if you ever did this, Lori, but I'm gonna rat Jody out right now. I don't think she ever outright lied to me, but she would save something till the very end, and she would go, I'd hear like a deep breath. I don't want to tell you this because I think it's going to change. And I think you're going to make me stay on the remedy because I'm going to tell you this, but and then tells me some positive things that happened. So she would focus on all the things that she didn't like at the beginning of the visit and try really hard not to tell me about the positive things that were happening because she wanted me to change the remedy. Mm-hmm.
I did it worse with Dr. Wei. Like, I remember having an appointment with him, and I think that I don't even remember what it was, but I remember that we were talking about acute symptoms, and I was intentionally not talking about chronic symptoms. And then at the end, he started asking me about chronic symptoms, and I was like, and I think he could tell. And I'm just, again, I'm a rule follower. I just do it. And I, at that point, I trusted you guys. But man, I thought about it, and thank God I didn't. Like, I realized that if we would have gotten off track, you guys would have got us on back on track. But the things that I was telling you guys in follow-up appointments, how response was happening, if response was happening, that stuff was so important. And that correct information is what got Avery out of this. And thank goodness I didn't do that. So don't do that. Highly, highly not recommended.
I'm just like scrolling through our list of episodes to see if we've had an episode on this. And I don't think we've had one exclusively on this. So I'm going to touch on it here, but we probably need an entire episode on this. In the messy middle is probably when you're going to be tempted to say, like, I'm just going to focus on this one symptom. I'm going to leave everything else out because I want OCD gone. I'm over it. And you're going to stop telling your provider all of the things, the totality of the symptoms, because you think if I just tell the OCD, we can make the OCD go away. And what's going to happen is you're actually going to get stuck and you're not going to see progress because you need the totality to be able to find the best fit. And when we focus on just one symptom, you're more likely to get palliative care at best. And what palliative is going to look like, you're going to get better for a bit, and then you're going to go right back to where you were before the remedy started. And then you're going to adjust, and then you're going to go get better for a bit. And then you're going to go right back to where you were before you started the first potency. And then you're going to have a third potency. You're going to get better for a bit. And then you're going to go right back to where you were before you started that first potency, where you're just bouncing back and forth between, you know, like a one and a two and a one and a two, and not making any progress beyond that, not breaking through the ceiling, right? That's what's going to happen if you try to just focus on one symptom, most likely. Not 100% of the time. Nothing is guaranteed with anything, right? But that's likely to happen, especially if it's OCD and tics, which tend to be the most stubborn. And when your people are getting the most frustrated in the messy middle is with OCD and tics, because they are sticky and stubborn symptoms. And they are also symptoms that focusing in on them is rarely useful for finding the remedy. That's the tricky thing. Right?
Yes, that's the part that was so hard for me. I wish I would have understood back then that talking about being like wanting a fan blowing on, talking about sleep, and talking about eating ice or whatever, like all these little things that I didn't want to talk about because I was like whatever, they're right. Little things. It's all those other little things that gets the OCD or the tics better. And I didn't understand that. I was irritated. And I'm like, why? Like, why is she? Let's talk about the OCD. It's the worst. But then you would direct me to something else. And I'm like, she's not hearing me.
So it's like, it's kind of like those magic eye pictures from back in our childhoods. Do you remember those magic eye pictures where if you looked right at them, it was just like a pattern that you couldn't see. But if you looked at them a little sideways, a picture jumped out.
Yeah.
With some of, especially those sticky, stubborn symptoms that you're still the most frustrated with in the messy middle, they're kind of like the those magic eye pictures where if you look directly at them, you're not going to see it. You got to look at the stuff around to be able to actually see the clarity of what the full picture is to get the best fit.
It's funny because my own personal journey, the big symptom, the hair pulling, the big elephant in the room, you know, for the past 3 decades was actually kind of leading us astray. And so I had this conversation. And so we kind of stopped looking at it. Like I still monitor it, but it's really not the driving force. And once we stopped using that as an indicator to, you know, choose a certain remedy, I had better success when Dr. P kind of just kind of had that floating here in the background. Like it's just going to do its thing. It's been there for 8 million years and it ebbs and flows, but that is not what is going to get us farther. And it's so true. And it is so frustrating because Jody, I felt the same way. Like, I don't think she's hearing me. I don't think I've ever lied, maybe omission a little bit, maybe. And I've also strategically decided how I was going to present information. But also, I think that's what makes RN providers amazing because they really get to know you. We're not just a number. Like you have to, you know, you log back on every month for your follow-up and, oh, she knows me. She knows me better than I know me. So she will call me out as best thing ever. That's how I knew that's where I was supposed to be. Because I can remember as a kid, this is kind of a side note, but I used to go, mom would send me to a therapist and I knew exactly what to say to them. I knew to get through 45 minutes. Sure, I can get through this and, you know, no harm, no foul. She knows. So, you guys are very skilled in that way. Something that it doesn't make sense in my brain, but it totally makes sense in your brain. I'm so happy to be able to just hand it over. At some point, I finally gave that up in the messy middle. Not the frustration necessarily, but just the fine, whatever. I'm just going to do it because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have that skill set.
So as we wrap up, I want to make sure we get, if there's any other thoughts that you guys have. I'm thinking about, as you said at the beginning, that there was, that you probably didn't realize that you were in it when you were in it. I certainly didn't. Like I even said in our Facebook group the other day, so like back to my story. So like I was in the messy middle for a while, right? It was like a couple of years. And then in being in the messy middle doesn't mean that you're never going to have any bad regressions or anything. There's this, the last hurrah phenomenon that we see with a lot of kids that happens after you think you're through the messy middle, you feel like you're so close to done and then boom, you're tanking again. And like, and I had mine, I didn't realize that that's what it was. One, I didn't realize I had PANS until I started working with a lot of PANS because I'm like this, I'm like so like self-blind to so many things. I really am. Like, I didn't realize I had lots of things, or didn't realize the specificity of what I had until it was like, well, I understand what they're saying because like, I feel that way too. Right. And it all finally like clicked together. Anyway, I didn't know it was a last hurrah. And I didn't have enough experience with PANS kids to see like this pattern until like after the fact. I can see in retrospect, I definitely had a last hurrah. My last hurrah was at like 3.5 years, I think 3.5 years. And I still, it wasn't like, I wasn't done right after the last hurrah. It took me like another year and a half or so until I was fully done. And I had more bumbling along after the last hurrah. The last hurrah, I did have a pretty strong response again because I went so far and I had so far to come up. Right. So I had a pretty strong response again. Then I went back to more bumbling along. Okay. And I went through some life changes. You know, I moved to a new state. I, you know, finished medical school, all that sort of stuff. Was figuring out all sorts of things. And so like it was basically keeping me treading water. And I didn't always feel great, honestly, like because it was legitimately a very hard transition out of medical school and into practice and all of the things, right? And in a new place and everything. So it was legitimately a hard transition. And so it would have been hard for anybody. And homeopathy kept me treading, but it didn't necessarily feel great. And I was just like, is this just the best I'm ever going to feel? And like, I was feeling rough, right? Yeah. And then one day I had my last episode, my last flare. I didn't know it was my last flare until like 5 years later. I look back, that was the last one. And I didn't know. And like, I kept like super, super cautious too. Right. Like, Always on high alert of like anything that like had been a trigger in the past or could likely be a trigger or whatever. Stayed on high alert and it just kept not happening. And it's like I needed several years to see, okay, it's done. Like all of these things that should have happened. And like even my conventional doctors that I still work with were like, this should have happened. Like you should have had an episode, you should have had a flare, whatever. Like, but I didn't. So it's almost always in retrospect that you see those spaces.
I don't know how anybody like I don't think there's any way for anybody to know where they are at all. Like I had no idea any, granted we were going through it earlier before there was all the education, but I would have never been able to identify a space.
And you just have to remember that, especially when you're out of like crisis space where you're just like hunkered down in your house. Minimal stressors, minimal exposures to things. The more you're getting out in the world, the more you're going to have things that are affecting you that you're going to have to navigate and work through. And we're going to have ups and downs along the way because everybody does, right? So, anyway, there's no real way to predict because of those external things, and even outside of the external things, but especially because of the external things. There's no way to predict. You're here, you've got 3 more months to go. Because you've got your own body, your own susceptibility, things that you can't even predict, right? Like as we're recording this, I am like just 3 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks away from a car accident that I could not have predicted. Like somebody rear-ended me. And like, so I have a new car now that I would not have predicted. And I had the stressors of like having to go through all of that, right? And like, so there's things that we can predict and help work through, and there's a lot of things that we just can't predict at all. So,
We had a lot of things that popped up. I know we're trying to wrap up here. In years 3 and 4, and that were outside variables. And I just kept looking at Rob and saying, "Can you imagine us having to do this before homeopathy 3 years ago? We wouldn't have made it." I don't even know what that means. We wouldn't have made it, but like we wouldn't have made it through these ginormous things that we went through. And so if you kind of shift your brain to looking at it, not how many things, you're not looking for success and you're not counting or measuring by how many things that you don't react to, but how we got through it. That's, I kind of made that shift. You know what I mean? And that's why I was looking at, okay, we are successful because of this.
You were already sitting in your resilience and you didn't know it yet, right?
I think one of the challenges too is that we can get stuck where like we want a definitive end point. This is what health looks like. This is what recovered looks like. And here is like when we are there. And the reality is that it looks different for different people. What we're mostly looking at is resilience, as Jody just said, the ability to bounce back, to handle life's ups and downs. Not that we're going to be perfect, that we're never going to be sick, that we're never going to have a day that we're anxious or sad or angry or whatever it happens to be, not our best selves, having a difficult time focusing, but that we can bounce back with minimal external inputs. Right? That like we don't have to take a pill. We don't have to take a dose of the remedy. We might need a little extra sleep. We might need a healthy dinner. We might need to go to the pool and get in 50 laps or whatever it happens to be that is just taking care of ourselves, but not necessarily needing something to force our body or even nudge our body back on track. Just like the things that you do to tip to just take care of yourself, right? So I think that part of it is maybe in the messy middle, there's always benefit in letting go of control, right? And recognizing that like the more you're trying to control things, the less likely they're going to go the way you want them to go. And there's also some benefit in just being present with what is and not always necessarily striving for a specific thing that might just not be part of your family story, right? Like, and not to say that like your kid's not going to recover, but the recovery might look different than you want it to, right?
I think it's important to really look at at this juncture, how you're measuring, like I said, the success or how far you are, right? And also, like you said, what I'm hoping to get to. Because we tend to look at it like, oh, I have this much far to go, but where am I now? I'm already here. This is amazing. I'm living a really solid life, and I don't know what's up ahead. But I think if you have not defined success, then you can never meet it. What does it look like to you? I think it's this vague term out here that we just think everything's going to be perfect and rosy all the time. But you throw puberty and other things in and life, and that's never going to be the case. Pre, with or without pandas, with or without remedies, whatever. So we have this preconceived notion that's really inflated that it's going to be idealistic, and that's not the case ever. So we really have to watch that.
Well, and I think so one of the challenges too, and Jody, I'm hoping, I'm looking at you and hoping that you can speak to this a little bit. And I do know we need to wrap up so we don't just talk forever, because we could clearly talk forever. So one of the challenges that can also come up is that people change as they grow and as they mature, right? And so sometimes, like even sans pans, right? The way my child is today is not the way she's going to be in 5 years, right? And I think sometimes when we get interrupted by pans, so kids sort of get stuck where they are, but I think parents sometimes get stuck where they are too. And they don't feel like their kid is better unless they are like a taller, bigger version of the kid that they had right before pans started. When the reality is, they have to get to know their kid again as they are, and they might just be a little bit different than they thought they were going to be because they didn't get that like regular progression of like seeing their child and their personality evolve. Because it was sort of paused and then it was kind of a rapid catch up, and it's just disorienting. And Jody, I know you had a bit of that experience. Can you talk to that a little
I
bit?
don't know if I'm going to give you the same example, but I like this is what I'm thinking about is, Avery was this fun kid just bebopping alive in life, being a kid. Pans happened. We were fighting our tails off to get through it. We got a decent way through with homeopathy, and right around that time was like where she just like puberty was just kind of getting kicking and going. And how do I explain this? Like Avery started to become more of her adult self, and so the Avery that I lost in the beginning of Pans wasn't the same Avery that I had coming out of it. And there were so many things about Avery that were amazing. And like everything was so much better because of homeopathy. But also, stepping into more of her adult self means that she's like the parent that she's most like. She is most like my husband. She is very type A, very scheduled, very regimented, very black and white. And I am the polar opposite of that. And so I kept feeling like there was like these things with Avery that homeopathy needed to change. So that number one was my bad, because those things don't need to change. It's who she is as a human. They're hard for me. Like I need homeopathy. But then also it's like, oh wait, this is like a different kid. And this is not a kid, this is a young adult. And even now, still, some of the things I'm like, don't be so scheduled. Like, it's okay if we're 5 minutes late to school. And she's like, well, no, it's not. And like all of these little things with her, these traits that she has that are like my husband, that are going to serve her so well in her life and take her amazing places. It was me like learning this new kid because this is how she is now.
Yeah, and that this is the place. I think this is probably the last thing I'll say, although I'll give you guys an opportunity to respond, and then we'll probably wrap up unless you have something you really feel like we need to talk about that we haven't yet. This is the place where you can also find that you get on the phone call or in the office or whatever, however you're seeing your homeopath, and saying, "Oh, my kid is driving me crazy, and here's all the things that are going on that are driving me crazy." Only to find out it's you that needs a remedy adjustment, not your kiddo. And it's not that your kiddo is wrong for the things that they're doing or that their symptoms, it's that your symptom is your reactivity to your child who's being like a relatively normal, healthy child, or a child at least responding to their remedy. I know it's happened to you, Jody. Has that ever happened to you, Lori? You nodded your head pretty intensely.
Oh yeah, it has. In fact, I think one time I posted in the group because we were waiting for the mail, and I said, this is how you know mama needs an adjustment, because everybody is waiting for that package in the mail. And it was just so funny because they all knew. It was totally me. Again, I usually realize that in hindsight. I'm better at picking up on that now.
Yeah.
But I'll just, the last thing I want to mention, Jody, what you were just talking about, Avery, was this new semi-adult person, because I'm right there with you with Poppy, and it's so interesting, and it's so lovely, and it's so amazing. And there's things Dr. P has also told me, you know, some of that's just her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this last year, the biggest growth for me has been, you know, we've worked so hard, I don't want to say creating a masterpiece, but first, you know, I had to protect her and we had to get through the crisis. And then there was the, okay, let's try and do this and let's work on this. And at some point I just have to let her be. And she's such a beautiful human and such a beautiful soul. Yeah. And, but it took me to step back, and I think I would have struggled with that anyways, but the pandas thing makes me so much more aware. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's really a big piece of part of this messy middle too, is like, okay, now I got to let them do their thing and grow. Like, she's fully capable. I don't need to put her in a bubble anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap for today for this episode. We are going to be back with you next week to talk about observer fatigue, which is, as I said, it shows up for sure in the messy middle, but it deserves its own episode, just because if we've got tips and stuff like that, we want people to be able to go back and reference it and check it out. So make sure you don't miss that. If you connected with anything we were talking about in this episode, you probably need the next one on observer fatigue. So if you haven't subscribed, subscribe so that you can make sure you don't miss it. Take care, everybody.
Hey guys.
Bye.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.